The title for the message today, it is Grab Your Sword and Let's Run to the Battle. And I have to tell you, you know, when I had that sword up here the Sunday that the lights didn't work and all that, you know, Satan knew that was going to mess with me. He knew, because I'm a teacher and I have to see your face. If I can't see your face, I'm going to have problems ministering. And so that bugged me. And so anyway, on that sword, I have to tell you, I probably would have picked up that sword and wielded it a little bit, because on that sword it says, run to the battle. And today I'm issuing a proclamation that we need to run to the battle. We need to run to the battle. I want you to consider some things. Jesus was not a pushover. You know, Jesus... a lot of times you'll see pictures and people want to see him as a peacemaker, and yes, he was a peacemaker, but there was also a part of Jesus that was a kingdom shaker. He came in to shake things up a little bit, to set things right. And let's turn to, now I'm going to probably keep you flipping quite a bit in your Bible this morning, but turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Now, the story here in Matthew 11 is that John the Baptist is actually in prison, and he sends two messengers to Jesus, and he says, are you the one we're supposed to look for, or do we look for somebody else? John the Baptist was a little bit confused. He thought, and a lot of other people thought, that Jesus was going to come, and he was going to upset the government, that he was going to put Israel right, that he was going to invade the government, that he was going to set that right. However, Jesus did things a little bit differently. So John was a little bit puzzled or confused. But Jesus' answer to him in verse 4 was, Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Now, here's a scripture I love. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. And this is verse 5. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those people who reach out and let me minister to them and are not offended by who I am and what I'm doing. All right, let's move down a little bit to verse 11. It says, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus is talking about John the Baptist and the fact that he had a prophetic ministry. He came and he announced the coming of the Lord. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So what he's saying is, he who is least, the people that are marred or hurt by life, the people that are the least of these that we think are greater than John the Baptist. Well, I want to ask you to consider, that's us. We are the least of these. We are lowly humans with marred, I guess, personality or character, or our human nature is flawed because we have sin in our life. But through the blood of Christ, we are redeemed, and we are called to do mighty and great things for his glory and through his name. So I want to look at a couple of other things. So remember, Jesus was not here to change the government, but to change people's lives, to set forth it right, the government in their own lives. Now, verse 5, again, I want to take a side note here, okay? But verse 5, this is what I really pray will begin to happen in Life Church and in this community. The blind receive their sight, The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I want to see miracles in this place. I want to see these things happen, because there is a verse in the Bible that says, "And you are to, these things I did, and you are to do even greater in His name." Well, I want to see those things. I want to see those things happen. So what do we do to do that? First of all, you have got to know you are important in God's will being accomplished on this earth. And John says it all the time. In the Bible, I want you to think about the times when Jesus did a miracle. Usually there was either something that person had to do, or there was something that another person had to do in order for that miracle to be performed. In other words, you have to know that God's will occurring on this earth depends on us. We have to be a vehicle, obviously submitted to His will, submitted to Him, submitted to His wisdom, submitted to His word, but we are the vehicle that has to bring this about. And, you know, I'll give you an example. There can be the most wonderful blessing of a job opportunity, and I've said this, I think I've used this example before. God can have His most perfect will of the perfect job for you, but if you don't go fill out the application, are you going to get the job? No. We have to be willing to hear His voice, get direction, and step out and do it. He can make that provision, but if we don't walk in it, if we don't pick it up, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And that's what I see in Life Church. We have stepped forward. A group of us decided that this is a God-ordained place, and we care enough, and we love this place enough. I don't care about money. We care enough that this place is successful. We care enough. I'm going to tell you honestly, and I hope this is okay for the council, my counselor here. John and I don't get a paycheck. We're not doing this because of a paycheck. We do not get money. We sow our money into this place just like everybody else does. We tithe. We believe in this place. And we see God's hand working time and time and time again. I'm getting off my notes, but I got to tell you, this is so exciting to see things. You know, when we talked about, Linda and I talked about on the phone, I don't know where Linda went, wherever she is. Oh, that's right. She told me that. But I got to tell you what Linda and I talked about on the phone. We were so worried because the Atlanta Food Bank truck was coming and the weather was predicted to be horrible. It really was. And so we kept thinking about all these things, and we kept thinking, okay, let's have this option, and let's do this, and let's do that. And somebody said, well, Elijah prayed. And I said, you know what? If Elijah prayed and he could stop the rain, Elijah was a man just like us. And the scripture even says Elijah was a man just like us. And guess what happened? The rain held off, didn't it? It rained a little bitty bit at the end. And that was when they were cleaning up. That was, from my understanding, that was after the food was given out. It was when they were cleaning up. What more can we ask? And we have people that bring, you know, I don't know, if you go look at those shelves, there's a picture on the Life Pantry Facebook page. Those shelves are packed, jammed. And I looked at that picture and I said, oh, Lord, I wish our shelves looked like that now. Guess what? Our shelves don't look like that. They're pretty empty. But every single week, we are blessing people with food. I don't know how God does it. He just does. People come up here on Thursday for Miss Pat's Bible study. People are hungry. But we have to step out. We have to do our part. And that's why I'm so thankful and humbled when I see I've got a list of so many people, volunteers, that I have to do background checks on. I've got to go grab all these people to do background checks. What a wonderful problem. We have volunteers that are setting up. We have people that volunteered to be ushers and greeters now, like we've never had a team before. Meta did a schedule. So praise God. I know those are little things, but do you realize that is God moving in people's hearts? All right, let me get back to my message. Sorry. Anyway, so we are called to do these same things. I want to look at, after that verse in Matthew 11, we read verse 11. Look at verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, you know, I just happen to believe there was a little part of Jesus that was violent. Not evil violent, but violent. He was passionate about his calling and who he was on this earth. And I have to be passionate and violent about what I'm doing. I can't make it just happenstance. I can't do that. You know, and I've read this scripture time and time again, James 5, 16 and 17. And if you want to turn there, you can do that and I'll read it. James 5, 16 and 17. And this is the scripture with Elijah. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay, so now, obviously God is telling us to pray there, right? There are so many times in the Bible where God tells us to pray. So obviously he wants us doing that. The effective, fervent, now I don't know about you, but effective means it's going to work. And what does fervent mean? Fervent means I don't just go, okay, thank you, God. Well, if you want to heal him, heal him. Well, okay, in Jesus' name. Fervent to me is grab my sword, read those scriptures that speak about healing, and say it with faith and power in your voice. Call it out loud. You know, we've said before, there are times when you need to take that word and you need to read it out loud so that your ears can hear it and so the powers and principalities of darkness can hear it too. Look, I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe that we live in a spiritual world and that we live in a spiritual battle, I'm sorry, but you are mistaken. Read your Bible and read those scriptures that say we are in a battle. We are in a battle. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just kind of halfway be wimpy Christians? Or are we going to take the violent, take it by force? I'm not going to let my family just be submitted to the worldly laws or the natural laws. Or I want my family to be submitted to the Word of God. And if I see something going on in my family that's not right, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find those scriptures on healing or speech or whatever it is, and I am going to read those scriptures, and I'm going to keep reading them until my faith is built up and until I see an answer. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Why would God tell us so many times in his word to pray if prayer didn't matter? He wouldn't. It matters. It matters. I want to read a couple of other scriptures. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. And these two scriptures are actually on a prayer guide that you're going to get today. And we talked about strategies. And that God, you know, when I talked about David and slaying our giants in our lives, we said strategies that God would give us. If we seek his face, God will give us the strategies to defeat our giants. And this prayer strategy is one of them. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to read two scriptures, 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14, and you probably are familiar with this scripture, but it says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people," you know the rest, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I learned in geometry, we had statements, and they were called if-then statements. And if a certain thing happened, then the result was always dependable. Well, I know God's word is dependable. So if God's word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, praise God, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. What a promise of the Lord. In Matthew 16, 18 through 19, I'll read it to you. It's good to hear y'all turning. That's a good thing. Matthew 16, 18 through 19. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." That means we need to do a study on the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's next. But here's the part that solicits us to pray. "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There's another call to prayer. Another call to prayer. But it's also another promise of the Lord. Another promise of the Lord. So prayer matters. I want to tell you honestly, when we do, whether it's the food drives or when we do our parking lot outreaches, anywhere I have ever volunteered or asked somebody to pray for them, they've never turned, never, not once. Now maybe you've had somebody turn you away, but I have not once had anybody tell me, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." And we've even done some crazy things. One time, we decided, when our church was located near Tanger Outlets, we decided to take a team to the outlets. And we didn't, we, John? We went, and we just went looking for people to pray for. And I'm inside a big store with another young lady and a couple of our teenage girls, and we see a lady, and we decide to pray for her. So we walk up to her, and now, if you're out shopping, I don't know if anybody else has ever had anybody come up to you and say, "Can I pray for you?" But we did it. We did it. And it took a lot of guts. I'm going to tell you, it was uncomfortable. It was not in my comfort zone to go into a store where people are all happy shopping and ask somebody to pray for them. It was awkward. But we knew we were supposed to try to do some things that got out of our comfort zone. That was one of those preparation grounds that trained us for our future. So we go up to a young lady. She was probably in her early 20s. And we said, the lady that was with me said, "We'd like to pray for you. Is there anything that maybe God would put on your heart that we could pray for you with you about?" And she said, "Well, as a matter of fact, my mother has COPD. And I'm also going on a missions trip in about 3 weeks. Would you pray for that?" Now, isn't that funny that God just happened to lead us to, out of the whole big outlet mall, that God just happened to lead us in a store to this young lady that her mother had an illness and she was going on a missions trip. So we're standing there with all the racks, and you know, this was one of the big stores, and there are a lot of people looking around, and of course when somebody hears, "Can I pray for you?" What do you think all the heads did? They're going to pray in the store? Okay. A lot of us think about doing that, but do a lot of us have the courage to do it? Well, I'll tell you what, that young lady turned to me and she said, Pastor Janice, will you pray? Now, what kind of a person would I look like if she turned to me and used the term Pastor Janice, and we're standing there with her and two teenage girls in our church? What kind of an example would I have been to those teenage girls if I'd said, oh, I don't think I can do it? Oh, my goodness. So I said, sure, I'd love to pray. So guess what we did? Standing there at the racks, we prayed for that young lady, her mother, her missions trip, and we've got all our eyes are bowed, and we raise our heads, and guess what? Everybody's looking at us in the store. And I thought, whoa, okay. But yeah, that would have been good. Who's next? Who wants to go next? That would have been good, Matt. But you know what? I've never had somebody say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Prayer is the strategy that is going to take Life Church to its destiny. And that we have to realize. And guess what, you guys? You are the ones that are going to be praying to implement that strategy. So, we have to grow in our understanding and our knowledge of prayer then. That means we've got to understand what exactly, how do we pray, what do we pray. We've got to learn that. So once again, what happens here on earth is determined by what goes on in the spiritual realm. We have to give a place for God's will to happen. And you know, God's will is not automatic. Just like we talked about with that job application, He has a will and a destiny, but when He gave us free choice, then now we have that choice to be obedient and to walk in His path or not. So we have to implement His destiny here and His will. So here's a scary thought. If we do not pray, we leave ourselves open to chance. To chance. Basically, what is the enemy's plan for us? What does the Bible say? That Satan goes around like a roaring lion to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you ever look at your children, I don't know about you, but I have had times when I knew that my children, that Satan was trying to influence them and trying to steal, kill, and destroy my children. And you want to get a mama riled up? That's right, mess with her children. And something that'll get you on your knees in prayer is your kids. Well, that's why we have got to look at Life Church as our baby. And we've got to realize that Satan is coming to kill, steal, and destroy the future of this church. And if we are not willing to get on our face, if we're not willing, when the worship team comes up here, to usher in the presence of God so that He can speak to us, so that He can give us direction, so that He can heal people who walk in these doors who've never been here before, we are the ones that are here that should be creating that atmosphere. God's here. But we have to welcome Him so that the conditions are right for people to be open to hearing Him and encountering Him. You have to be ready when you hit that door. We have to be ready. So now I want to turn to Daniel 10. I told you I was going to have you jumping around here. Daniel 10. And I want to talk about Daniel a little bit. So I have to tell you, it has been so in my spirit the last couple of weeks, just being up here in the office and seeing what's going on, I keep getting this sense that God is saying, okay, we've taken a step forward, guess what? It's time to do it again. Rise to the next level. Rise to the next level. It's time. And so I have this quickening in me that God, okay, what is it and how do we get there? What is it we need to do? We need to go to the next level. So the story of Daniel teaches us a lot of things. Let's look at what the story of Daniel teaches us. And I'm going to read kind of a little bit, and I'll skip around here. But in Daniel 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. Sometimes we have dreams and visions, and we have to wait for them, and it's not comfortable waiting. Sometimes the time is long, and we have to wait for those dreams and visions to be fulfilled. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And if you look back into the Hebrew and the Greek and all that, and I don't quote Hebrew and Greek a whole lot, but the word mourning actually stood for fasting and prayer. So if you look at that, Daniel was fasting and praying and seeking God's face. It says, verse 3, I ate no pleasant food. So he obviously, it sounds like he ate some food maybe for his just sustenance, but no pleasant food. No meat. Would you have a hard time with that? No meat. Or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. And I'm going to skip down, because it just describes him. Here's the main point that I want you to see in verse 11. Now Daniel had set himself aside. He was seeking the face of the Lord. He was fasting, he was praying, he was letting nothing come in to him that would create any impurity. He wanted a clear channel between he and God, between him and God. He wanted that. So look at verse 11. So the angel comes, and he said to me, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved." Now, I don't know, but I would love for God to call me greatly beloved. That is a term of endearment. So God obviously was moved by Daniel desiring so much to hear God's voice and God's wisdom. Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand." So that means that Daniel was absolutely set on hearing God's voice and God's wisdom. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. That is a promise of the Lord that our words will be heard. Daniel's words were heard by the Lord. And I've come because of your words. So we have to realize Daniel rose to a place of influence. And if you know the story of Daniel, he interpreted dreams for the king. He was placed in the king's palace. He was offered luxurious things. He was offered food, but he turned those things away. Now, I don't know, that might have been even an offense to the king. If he turned away the king's food and the king's offerings, there's a possibility that there might have even been some consequences or repercussions, or maybe the king might have gotten offended. But Daniel was willing to take that risk. He did not want to defile himself or to take himself away from hearing from God. It was that important to him. If you think about Daniel also, he was surrounded by pagan practices. Those people were not they didn't serve, the king and his kingdom did not serve the same God that Daniel did. So Daniel is surrounded by pagan practices, but his mind was set not to compromise, not to compromise. He wanted to stay pure. And we'll talk about fasting. That's another thing that I'll probably eventually do a very specific teaching on fasting. And that's a very personal thing when God tells you to fast. But one thing I know is that I have to keep that channel between God and I very, very clear. Have you ever gone on a trip and you turn on the radio and you know you're listening to the radio? I know now we have all kinds of other things, alternatives to radio, but if you listen to the radio, what happens is you're driving down the road and you get far away from the reception of that particular station. It gets very staticky, right? So you have to change the station. Then you can sit there and flip and go all the way through there and you're trying to find a station. This is how it is with God. If we have a clear path with God and I keep myself so in tune with His Spirit that there's no static, then I can hear Him clearly. But if I start letting influences come into my life that distract me and that get me bogged down, then it becomes static. And I don't want to get off too much on what static is, but static can be anything from negative thoughts or negative people that are around you that discourage you or bring discouragement or try to kill your dreams. It can be the things that we listen to or the things we watch, anything that plants seeds in our heart that are not consistent with the Word of God. So a lot of things can create static. So number one, Daniel, we have to realize this about Daniel. Daniel was decidedly determined to stay before God's face, to seek Him, to stay pure, to know he's heard God's voice. The second thing we have to know is that God hears us when we pray. Just like it said in verse 12, from the day that you set your heart to hear from God, He heard you. We have to know that God will hear us when we pray. And the third thing is we have to know the power of prayer and fasting. And that's just what the Word says. He tells us over and over and over and over again that we need to pray. So obviously that's a promise of God. And we know that prayer and fasting defeats the powers of the enemy. So I want to, and I can give you another scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. And that tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Let me turn there real fast. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So to me, that just tells me we are fighting a spiritual battle here. And the strategy to overcome it is prayer. Simple as that, prayer. But do we care enough to really get on our face and to pray? And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that John and I determined would be a mark of this church and every ministry in this church is that before we do anything, we pray. Before we have our staff meeting, what do? We pray. And we don't limit. I'll tell them all the time in staff meeting, this prayer is not limited. We can pray the whole staff meeting if that's what God wants us to do. But we're going to pray. We are not going to start a ministry or a staff meeting or whatever it is without prayer. The worship team, even if we have to run back there right before the service starts, what do we do before this service starts? We pray. We have to line up with God before we do anything. So I want to show you something. Now, I tell you, Wednesday nights, if you're missing Wednesday nights, and I know some people have to work during the week, but I got to come in to the prayer this Wednesday night, And it just reaffirmed in me how vital Wednesday night prayer is. And I understand if you can't be there, that is okay. But I want to tell you what John has developed for us, our church in this community, is a prayer guide, which is our prayer strategy. And as I prayed this, they do a lesson or a teaching on Wednesday night, and then they divide up and we walk around this room, or you can sit, whatever is comfortable for you, and we pray. And we intercede for our families, for our church, for the leadership, for this community, for the lost. I think everything that we can think of is on this sheet. Now, it's not complete. We'll add to it, I'm sure. But this is a start. And this is what is going to bring God's will down to earth. And you know what? We have to fight it in the heavenlies. We have to wield that sword. But as we're praying these things, it also plants seeds in our heart, and those seeds will come to fruition. I know that. So this is not an exhaustive list. I'm sure we will add, but it's really comprehensive. So I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come up, and we're going to give you one of these. And I want to ask you to faithfully pray. And it doesn't, John can take some over here too. It doesn't require a huge, are we going to have more meetings? Are we going to have, no, guess what? You can pull this out and pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is. But this is going to help set our mentality for our community, for our church, for our families. This is important. You know, so many times we can sit down to pray and not know what to pray for. And it's great that we sit down and we pray for whatever comes to our mind. There are times when that's necessary also. But there are times when we need to dig in and have a plan. And so I want to pray that this prayer strategy will take birth and root in your heart. And that as you're praying this, you will begin to dream and to see visions for this church and the possibilities. Because I can see huge dreams. We dream pretty big. But God has really outdone himself this past 5 weeks and accomplished wonderful, magnificent things in this place. With the team of people that we have, he has done far beyond, I guess, what I expected in the first 5 weeks. But it's a wonderful, wonderful report. So take this strategy and whatever time you have, and I heard John say on his message, I got to listen to his message, and I heard him say, you have got to schedule it. You know, we're all busy people. We're all busy. If I say, well, I've got 2 hours to pray, I don't know if I've got 2 hours to pray. But if I don't set in my mind, I'm going to do this, then it won't happen. So hopefully, if you stick this in your Bible and fold it up and then never look at it again, then we're not very good warriors. We've got to have this somewhere, and you've got to intercede. We've got to dream, and that's part of the dream. That's going to birth it in your heart, make it take root. So again, I want to say thank you. You have stepped up. I'm so proud and so in love with Life Church. So in love with Life Church. We love you, and we do a lot. And we appreciate you so much. But it is time to draw your sword. It is time to get on our knees, so to speak, and pray and intercede for this place. There is so much in the heavenlies that's going on, and we need to usher it into earth. We're the vehicles. Don't say that, you know, oh, I can't pray is great and magnificent. And I taught the kids upstairs about what prayer sounded like. And they thought it was so funny when I said, you know, some people pray a long time with big, huge words. And we said, oh, magnificent, holy Spirit of God. And they started laughing. And I said, do you have to pray like that? And they said, no. Sometimes our kids need to teach us some things. Those kids believe in prayer. It doesn't matter who we are in life. Daniel rose to a place of influence. We don't have to be influential people to get on our face and pray. The wonderful thing is that all of our past is covered by the blood of Christ. If we've accepted Him, doesn't matter who we are all God's beloved. Amen. We are all God's beloved. So Life Church, draw your sword. Pray. I can't wait till we're given prophetic words on this altar, that we stand up and we give those words and we see the direction and we see the place that God is going. And this becomes, on Sunday morning, a place of celebration where we come in and we give those words and we celebrate and we worship and we say, yes, we've received our instructions, we've worshiped, let's go out and do it again. And that's what we're called to, Life Church.
Amen.
So, thank you so much. I want to pray to close. Father, we worship your magnificence, God. God, you're so much more than we can ever think or dream. You're so a loving, abundant God. And you desire that we would be fruitful. So, Father, we commit to praying. We commit to implementing this strategy, Father. We thank you, God, that your hand is on us, your hand is on our families, your hand is on this place and on this community. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory in all the testimonies that are going to come forth, Father. We love you, Lord, and we give this time and this place to you. In Jesus' name, amen.